please recite a Surah Fatiha. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد Imam Ali alayhi salam had said that the authority of that is based on oppression and dhulm, any rule that is based on oppression and injustice and dhulm is going to finish. Is going to go down. There is no doubt that anyone who wants to rule people through oppression and injustice, that rule is going to collapse. The rule of kufr might last. If you are a non-Muslim and ruling the people without injustice, that rule will last. But a rule that is based on dhulm and oppression, even if it's in the hands of a Muslim, is going to collapse. Now, when we look at dhulm, there are different types of dhulm that people go through. People who are exploited by those who are stronger than they are. This is natural, that those who are strong will exploit those who are weak. Those who are powerful will take advantage of those who don't have power. And when this exploitation takes place, you see that people, they go through different types of dhulm, different types of oppression. And eventually they are going to stand up against that oppression when they had enough of it. So for example, when you see an oppression where poverty takes place, that there's many people who become poor and the wealth goes into the hands of a few who are rich and elite, you will see that a time will come when the people who are poor will realize that they are being exploited and they will eventually stand up when they had enough. Because it is only natural that, you know, that we, when we look at the basic necessities of life, because of the fact that they are a necessity, we tend to make sure that we have enough of it so we don't reach a danger level. You know, that's the reason, for example, in life, we go through education and trying to find a job. What is that for? So that we make a cushion between what we have and the level of danger where we do not have our necessities. For example, you know, amongst the necessities you have, like, for example, food. It's a necessity. Food is a necessity. Shelter is a necessity. And when we look at these type of necessities, you see that we will work and earn more than what we need in order to build a cushion between what we have and what we can go down to come to the level of danger. Because when we start to come towards the level of danger, you see that we start to become nervous and we start to become afraid. that fear comes in. We are heading towards that level, you know, where we don't have that much to come to that. So when human beings, it's natural, when they see that they're in a danger zone where they don't have anything to eat, where they don't have a home and they become homeless, so now they will start to rebel. And they will start to do whatever they can in order to make sure that they do not go into that state. And if enough people are in that state, then you will see there will be an uprising, there will be a revolt against those who are exploiting them, and eventually a revolution. You can look at all the revolutions in the world, the French Revolution. Why did it happen? It happened because their people were poor. They were being exploited. They didn't have anything to eat. They didn't have anything. So eventually they're going to say that, okay, how long is this going to last? Are they going to die? So they will rise up because there's something that's affecting me. I'm going to rise up against that. Most revolutions in the world are based on this. And most people will rise up when they see that the exploitation is such where they do not have even the basic necessities. Speaking to an Egyptian brother, you know, who was saying that the situation in Egypt was so bad that, you know, people were so poor that you will see girls on the street who had nothing, begging. They will even sell themselves to get a piece of bread. Obviously, it's a bad situation, terrible situation. When you look at that, obviously, it's natural to rise up and revolt. Because when you reach that level of poverty, then you see, you know what, there's nothing but to go up. You're all the way down. You can't get worse than this. So an uprising is natural. You know, when you're at the lowest point that you can be, the only way to go is up. So that's an uprising. You can't go any lower than that. So obviously there's going to be an uprising. Because why? Because you have put the people in a situation that they're at the lowest point that they could get to. And so you rise up against that. It's natural to do that. So a revolution that comes out of poverty, one. Two, cruelty. If you start to beat someone up, you know, why are you beating them up? Because I'm stronger. Okay? You start to beat someone up and become cruel. This is another way of injustice. Now, if you start to just beat someone up, every day you see, for example, a bully in school. Now he sees a kid coming every day and he slaps him in the face. Every time he's being slapped in the face. So now when he's being slapped in the face, so obviously he's going to take it one time, two times, three times. He's going to say, hey, wait a minute, man. I need to do something about this. This can't go on like this. I mean, beaten up every day in school. So what happens is that you eventually are going to rise up. You're going to do something. You're going to stand up and say enough. You're going to say enough. So poverty, cruelty, these are natural reasons for people to stand up. If they stand up, it is only understandable that they should stand up. It's understandable. You don't require to have a very deep analysis or vision or ideology to make a stand when you have been exploited through poverty and cruelty. You don't need to have that, you know, deep understanding of things. You know, hey, you know, I'm hungry, I'm being beaten up, so you know what, that's enough. And when you look at what happened in Egypt, you'll see the signs are saying enough, enough, enough. What was that enough for? Because you have taken away from us our basic rights. So we are standing up because of that. You see? So this is one type of revolution. It's a type of revolution. You see, this is a type of revolution where, you know, if a person stands up, it's only understandable that they should stand up. I mean, there's no need to be surprised. You don't get shocked when you see that someone who's being beaten up every day, one day stands up and starts to, you know, beat up the guy who's beating him. And he says, it's not shocking. Man, you know me, you should have done it a long time ago. In fact, you shouldn't have let it go on this long. That's what's wrong in this situation.
Yeah.
Right? If you have a revolution today, it just shows that, you know what? It is a hit on your character that you shouldn't have let situation come so bad. Why did you make these things become so bad that now you have to do all this in order to get rid of the oppressive system? It shouldn't have gone that long. Oh, because of this oppressor, this tyrant, Husni Mubarak, he's the tyrant. And that's why we were under his thing. Husni Mubarak was not always a tyrant. He was a nobody. He became a tyrant. You made him a tyrant.
Yes.
You allowed him to become a tyrant. You allowed him to become a tyrant. Tyrants are not born tyrants.
Sure.
You know, they're born like every cute baby. And they're all cute. They're all cute, no. Tyrant is born with horns in his head. You know? They're all born cute. Who made him a tyrant? People there. So now when he became a tyrant and he beat you for 30 years, now you stand up and say, enough? Is that the extent of, okay, you know what? We will only bear injustice up to 30 years. After 30 years, we'll stand up. You should have stood up a long time ago. When you see this happening, you should start off. If you had the vision, the ideology and character, if you had that, you should have stood up a long time ago. So now what happens is that, yes, this type of revolution happens everywhere. And you don't have to be a Muslim or an ideological person to revolt against this. Revolt against this. Now, beyond that, you see that, you know what? There is another system that you see, we see in history that people rose up against, but the system, really, when you look at the system, and I've explained this to you before, like the system of Mafia. Right? Now really, I explained this to you in brief. Mafia system was what? That you take care of your friends and you exploit those who are not. So those who were in Sham, under his banner, under his umbrella, he used to take care of them.
Yes.
They all had, you know, welfare system, Medicaid, all these, you know, food stamps and everything. Right? They all had everything. The people who were under Mafia, they all had all. He used to give them a lot. He used to share a lot of his wealth with those who were around him. So obviously they loved him very much.
Yeah.
Right? Now, but he used to exploit others. He used to go to other places and exploit them and bring the wealth into Sham. And Sham was rich. People in Sham were rich. Economy was booming.
Yeah.
Economy was booming in Sham. So now obviously, if you happen to be a resident of Sham, you are lucky.
You're
lucky. Lucky, right? So now, but your wealth is at the expense of exploitation of the rest of the world.
Yeah, your wealth is around you.
Now, if a person who lives in that system rises up, he's not rising up because he is being hurt, that his basic rights are being taken. He's not rising up because I am poor. I'm not poor. I have everything. I have money, I have, you know, good neighborhood, I have everything here. Well, why are you rising up then? I'm rising up because this is at the expense of other people's exploitation. a rising like that requires character and vision to see that, you know what, I'm not rising for myself, I'm rising because, you know what, even though I'm getting all these things, but it's at the expense of many other people, of God's creation. That's why I'm rising up. And I've said why, not because of me, I'm not poor, but my being wealthy or my having dunya is at the expense of other people who are being raped and exploited. So if you rise up in that situation, you know what? It means that you have obviously a better character. You're not rising up because I'm poor, I don't have hunger, I'm hungry. Yes, if you did that, that's fine. You know, you are, yeah, you should have done that long time ago. But when you rise up against a system, not because of yourself, but because of the injustice done to Allah's creation, that is a higher revolution. Right? It is a higher revolution. It is a revolution that's based on a better ideology, a stronger ideology. Because it's not about yourself, it's about other people. You're rising up for their rights. Then you can say that, yes, this person is truly good because he's not doing it for himself, he's doing it for others, even though it's at the expense of his own self. I stand to lose a lot, but I would rather lose it than to see other people exploited to feed me. This is character. Yeah, this is character. Right. And so now what happened is that when you look at that, that is a higher level of thinking. And a better person. You know, a stronger character. This is what it is. Now, let's go beyond this also. Now let me, if you understood this, let me go beyond that. Now when you see that, you know what? No one's being harmed. No one's being exploited. The ruler is saying, hey, listen, let's all get along, I'll share wealth with everyone. We'll all be happy, we'll all be good. I'll let you live and have a good life. I'll let everyone live and have a good life. The only thing that we will trample, the only thing that we will ignore, the only thing that we will get out of our lives is Allah. Let's get rid of Allah and we all live happy and have a party. You know, no, people are being exploited. They're not being exploited or anything. Everyone's living their lives. They're this and that. The only thing is that, you know what? Let's get rid of this ideology of Allah. This Allah's laws. Finish them off. Who cares about them? Let's get rid of that and have a party and we'll all get together and enjoy our lives. You see? Let's have our life, you know. And you know what? Just get rid of Allah and we'll all be happy. Now, who would stand up in this situation and say that, wait a minute. Yes, I know no one is being exploited. I know that no one is being killed. I know that no one is being harmed. The only thing that's being harmed is an ideology regarding Allah. The only thing that we stand to disrespect is Allah and Allah's laws. You see, my friends, Hussein stood up for that. Imam Hussein's stand was not because he's going hungry, his family was poor. It wasn't even because of other Muslims are going hungry and they were poor or cruelty. Right? What was the only thing that was being disrespected? You know? What was the only thing that was being disrespected? It was Allah's laws. Allah's laws. You know, like we all get together and say, listen man, listen, you know, enough of this Allah and Sharia and all these things. Let's leave it aside. Let's get along, have a club and enjoy ourselves. And you know what? If you are poor, I'll get you a business and we all get together and you know what? Make ourselves strong and rich and every wealthy and have a good time in this life.
No way.
Now, for example, you stand up and say, no, I will not allow this to happen. So what's wrong with you? Not hurting anyone? I'm not hurting anyone. What, am I hurting anyone? No. The only thing that I'm disrespecting is Allah. And Allah is not here. I mean, really, come on. Understand this. Now, if you stand up against that, this is what Imam Hussain did. He stood up, not because of himself or other people getting hurt. He stood up because Allah was being disrespected. I can't allow this to happen. I can't allow this to happen. I will bear all the cruelty you want me to bear. I'll go through torture, but I will not allow Allah to be disrespected or taken out of the society.
Wow.
This is Imam Hussein's revolution. This is Karbala. See, this is Karbala. Understand? And that's why the only relationship, again, when you see oppression happening, injustice happening to people, yes, if you rise up, it's a revolution against injustice. Against injustice on people, cruelty, you know, all these things, yes. But if no one is being unjustly dealt with or, you know, being killed or, you know, cruelly dealt with. So this is not a revolution against injustice. This is a revolution to give respect to Allah. To honor Allah. The relationship of a person who stands up for this cause and what he's standing up for can only be the relationship of love. Why would you do that? Because, I mean, you're not going through anything because there's love. There's honor, there's respect. That's why. I love Allah, I honor, I will not allow Allah to be disrespected like this. I will not allow Allah's laws to be disrespected like this. You stand up. My friends, this is the revolution of Imam Hussein. The revolution of Imam Hussein. So what happened with Imam Hussein's revolution? You see, when Allah is the goal of the revolution, then obviously there are those people who are disrespecting Allah that you want to overthrow. But that's not the end of the revolution. That's just the beginning then. If Allah is the goal, the first step is to get rid of the obstacles that stand in the way of Allah being established. That's the first step. Now when the revolution is for Allah, now the second step comes in, that until Allah and His Sharia is not established, then the revolution is not done. This is the difference between an Islamic revolution and a worldly revolution. What is an Islamic revolution? Islamic revolution, yes, I'm against this, but why? Not because he's doing anything to me. Or people, the reason is because of the fact that he is disrespecting Allah. He's an obstacle between Allah, so I have to get rid of him in order to do what? To establish myself? No, to establish Allah. To establish Shariat. Because we honor Allah's law, His will. This is what He wanted. My friends, any Islamic revolution, this is what an Islamic revolution. Imam Hussein had an Islamic revolution. He said, no, first this la ilaha, as I said, had to be get rid of, then Allah has to be established, if it's going to be an Islamic revolution. An Islamic revolution is not that, you know, in Egypt, they get rid of Husni Mubarak, and now everyone's thinking, now what we should do? What you should do? Yeah, you shouldn't be like that if you actually had an Islamic revolution. Your revolution is just because of poverty. Boys are poor, girls are poor, poverty is going, okay, it's fine, natural. It's God, yeah, you should have done it long time ago. That's your problem.
Revolution for bread. Bread revolution.
But the revolution that is an Islamic revolution is where it's not because of poverty, it's not because of cruelty. My friends, when you look at the Shah of Iran, right? The Shah of Iran, you know, he had his own ways, he's whatever he was.
Yeah.
Right? But you see, the people of Iran were not poor.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in those days, the dollar, one tuman used to be like, you know, one US dollar was equal to 7 tuman. Rich country. Right? Their money was worth something then. Right? Their money was worth it. Now it's like 1,000. Right? Their money was worth a lot, right? So they had money. Everything was cheap. They had everything. So why do you rise up? What was the problem? Why did Imam Khomeini said, you know what, we need to get rid of the Shah? Look at his speeches. It's because of what? You know, bread and eggs? Food? Cruelty? Or that he's coming out of the army and killing people? No. Wasn't even that.
No.
What was going on? The only thing that was going on, you look at it and he says that, you know what? No, it is Allah who's being disrespected here. It is Sharia that's being disrespected here. Let's rise up again. Why? Because this is why Imam Khomeini said that this revolution, the Islamic revolution in Iran, the only reason it happened is because of Karbala. Why? Because Karbala taught us what it means to rise up. What should we rise up against? Poverty? Is that a reason to rise up? No, we should be better than that. We should rise up because Allah is being disrespected. Ours is the path of love. This is our path. And that's why you see when the revolution happened right away, he says the next thing to do is establish Allah's law. Establish the Islamic system. Establish that.
SubhanAllah.
This is a revolution. If you want to see you have a revolution in your life, as an individual you have revolutions, you know, people who are on drugs, you know. Okay, you know, they get out of drugs and say, oh, I'm drug free now. Okay, it's good. You know, I had a revolution in my life. I'm drug free. So you fought, I mean, listen to yourself, that your whole system, your whole army that you have within you fought to do what? To get rid of this drugs in your, it shouldn't have entered you in the first place. I mean, look at yourself, you're so, I mean, the objective is so low. I'm trying to be drug free. What? Is that a revolution? Come on, I mean, is that our level now? Okay, you know what, I would respect you more if you said, you know what, I'm trying to get other kids to be drug free.
That's it.
I would respect you more if you said that. You know what, I'm standing up because I want these kids to be drug free. Okay, you know what, you are now not looking at yourself but other people, so that's more respectable. That's more respectable. Great. You know, but the thing is that obviously that drugs or whatever the issue is in wrong that's being done. Obviously you can stand up against wrong that is physical, tangible, you can see it. But really, who stands up for Allah's dishonor and disrespect? This is my friend, this is what a truly ideological stand is this. Stand up for Allah. And when you stand up for that, you will see these wrongs will not even come in the picture because your level is so high. Your objective is so high. You'll never come in the picture. This is why, my friends, look at yourself and see what is Islam. Did you have your Islamic revolution in your own self? It starts with the individual. Did you have an Islamic revolution? Or are you disrespecting the laws of Allah? If you are disrespecting the laws of Allah in your own house, if you don't pray, Then you know what? The name of Hussein is just a habit. Just like cigarette, drugs, any of these things. Because, you know, if you want to respect him, if you want to respect the cause, then that respect should be in your own self first. Otherwise, we haven't had the Islamic revolution in ourselves. What is Hussein's revolution? Hussein's revolution means that you apply Hussein into your life, his movement. What did he do? He stopped, he fought against the obstacles who are way in the way of Allah being loved in the land. Allah being respected in the land. My friends, this is an Islamic revolution. Imam Hussein did this. Understand this. There's a cause we fight for. Alhamdulillah, those who love Ahlul Bayt have given them, Alhamdulillah, all of us here, that high ideology.
That's right, subhanAllah.
That deep thinking, that strong vision. A child who's raised as a Shia, you know, what does he learn from his childhood? The first thing he learns is La ilaha illallah. A child who's born a Muslim, the first thing he's learning in his ear is La ilaha illallah. A statement, a position, a rank, a level that a non-Muslim has to struggle his whole life to understand. All his life, a non-Muslim has to come and learn and understand, okay, La ilaha illallah, to be a Muslim. A Muslim child is learning that ideology right in his childhood. You know, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah, Aliyan Waliyullah. You're learning about wilayat when you were a child. You know, how many mullahs have lived all their life and never understood wilayat?
Years.
Right?
Still alive.
A Muslim mother is teaching that to a child. You see, Islam has already put us at such a high level of understanding that the only way to go from there is upwards, more higher. So far to go, you know. This is where Islam has put us at. It is where Islam has put us at. And that's where we need to understand that this ideology of Islam that we have, that what we are doing, this is a movement, it's a cause. We have already been placed in the army, right, at the time we are born. You know? Hizbullahi children being born, you know? What is Hizbullah? Hizbullah is someone that says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, Aliyan Waliullah. That's what Hizbullah is. He says, what? The wilayat only belongs to Ahlul Bayt. His little children are now only Ali.
SubhanAllah.
Really, if you really look at ourselves, if it wasn't the weakness of our own nafs, we had been given so much that this is a environment, a gathering of angels, better than angels here. Better than angels here. People who believe in the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. And Islamic revolution is what? Your heart that is being ruled by others? You that are being ruled by others, you know, who's your president? You know, there is an idea that someone gave, right? They said, you know what? We should all go out and vote. I didn't realize, I never voted in my life. So, you know, there's someone who went to vote, who votes, he told me, you know, that you can, in the ballot, their names, you know, McCain and Obama, and blah, 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 you go down, and there's an empty blank that says other. You can write your own name. Right? So I said, you know what, we'll all just go there, Tell everyone to vote, put an other and say Imam Mahdi. And the news item will come, 5,000 people voting on right? Yeah, we'll go through the Muslim Congress and make this a viable option for us to do. None of these candidates, other. Like, what's going on here? Right? The issue is that, again, my friends, you know, we have what the Islamic Revolution, what it means is that, you see, who rules your heart? Who do you regard as a leader? You see, when your heart has regarded the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, if you have regarded Ayatollah Khamenei as your leader, who can take away his leadership from you now? Who can take it away from you? It's your heart that has to be inclined. It's your heart that just needs to be inclined. You know what? That's my leader, the wilayat. Who has the wilayat from Ahlul Bayt? That's it. That's my leader. When you have that, who can take it away from you? I don't listen to these guys. I listen to them. What can you do to take me away from that? You can't take it away from me. That's why Allah says, "Alam ya'ni lil-ladina amanu wa taksha qulubuhum lidhikrillah." Is it time for the believers that their heart should be inclined to the remembrance of Allah? Why? Because once you are attached to Allah and you are attached to His wali, then you know what? No one can take that away from you. He's already your leader. Finish. You know, you take commands from him, not from Obama. Are these sort of characters? No, we don't take commands from them. You know, of course not. Why? Because Ahlul Bayt, Imam Mahdi has put his wilayat in our hearts. That's it. No one can take that away from us. That's why, my friends, just the respect. Why we have? Why is it that says, you know, it's your life, for example, they say Ayatullah, which is Islam. Why? Because these are the signs of Allah. Anywhere you see anything that's related to Allah is respectable.
SubhanAllah.
Respectable. Allah is so comprehensive, so deep, and so wide in understanding that our minds cannot even reach Him and understand the cause and the concept and the movement of Allah. We cannot understand the concept, that movement is so wide. That's why you see anyone, any nation and a country, what it stands for, what or the values it stands for, whatever it is, it makes a symbol for it. Why? Because, you know, you can't say, you know, I pledge allegiance to this value, that value, that value, that value, that value. Obviously, it will be too... if you have a nation that does that, you never have a real national anthem. Like, okay, you know, we can't remember this, but there are like 3,000 values we stand for. Now what do? Instead of all those values, you put a symbol and say, I pledge allegiance to this flag. Why? Because of the fact that this flag represents all those values that we accept and are willing to die for. You see, so now what happened? If that symbol, you see, everyone, I know the kids do, you know, when you go to school, you say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Never stood up. Right? But what is our allegiance? You say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of Abul Fazl Abbas. And for the cause that it stands for. And the cause that it stands for, what is its flag? The flag of Abbas is what? It is just a symbol that represents the values and the movement that Islam has placed forward for us. That's right. When he pledge allegiance to the flag, to do what? Because this is what we stand for. It's not a flag. The flag represents a movement. It represents the cause. It represents the values. What we stand for. You know, Abbas's flag represented that. Imam Hussein's army represented that. That is Imam Mahdi's army. That's why the utmost respect that we need to have and the honor that we need to have for the flag of Abbas. Why? Because this is what we stand for. One symbol, that's it, and this is what we stand for. And that's why you see that flag, when it's raised in the right way, then the Islamic revolution will happen in your country.
SubhanAllah.
You see, it was raised in Iran, you see the whole country turn, and now is trying to put those values in place that which the flag of Abbas stood for. Which Islam stands for. This is, my friends, why the revival of movement that Imam Khomeini brought to us, this world right now, you know, and everyone is a witness what were their families doing 35 years ago. Everyone is a witness. Go back and see what was your family like 35 years ago. What was the Islam in your life? How important was Islam in your life? How important was Islam in your life? It was a blessing. When Imam Khomeini came and revived. And now said that no, these are the values we stand for. Now there was a new meaning. To what? To what we have. My friends, everything had a new meaning. And this is why, really, as I said before, I gave an example, and I want to give this example so you understand this. Just a little example. So you know, my friends, your own position. Salmi salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
I gave this example before, so you know this. I won't go in detail. You know, like when a father wants to give his son a gift, someone who's rich, filthy rich, but he's wise also. He wants to give his son a gift. He will look at the capacity of his son, you know, and see if he's able to use that gift, if he's able to utilize that gift. So for example, if he asks his son, young son, you know, 10-year-old, he says, what do you want for your birthday? He says, I want a Lamborghini. Son, you can't drive. Right? You're too young to drive. You can't drive. I mean, I can afford it. I can put you 10 in the parking lot. But why do you want a Lamborghini for? He says, you know, I like the hubcap and I want to play frisbee with it. She said, what? You like the hubcap and you want to play frisbee? So I want to buy you a $100,000 car so you can play frisbee with this hubcap? So the father doesn't give this gift to the child, then he is right in not giving him.
True.
And the child also deserves not to get that gift. He deserves not to get that gift. Why? Because he doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. That's so true.
See, every time Allah doesn't give us a blessing, it's not because He doesn't have it. It's because we don't know what to do with that blessing if we are given that blessing. And if He gives us a blessing, it means that we know how to utilize it. My friends, if Allah has given us a wali who has brought about an Islamic revolution in our lives is because we deserved it. That's why Allah gave it to us.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
It's because we deserved it. We know how to do it. If we didn't know what to do with it, he would never have given that blessing. Now, if you want Imam Mahdi to come and to have him, then obviously Allah is looking. Are you able to use it?
Or not?
Utilize it? If you're not, then you know what? He's not coming, because I will only give him to you if you know what to do with him. If you know what to do with him. That's the reason, my friends, as we grow, Allah is not stingy. Allah is not stingy. He has enough to give everyone. You know? And he will. Look in the hereafter. He will give each of us such much, so much in heaven. And we'll be like, oh, how much wealth is there in this country here called Jannah? I have such a big yard, I can't even see my neighbors. Right. So much Allah will give you, and you're like, wow, man. This is why, because Allah has it. But you'll only give it if you deserve it. You have to deserve it, really. You know, I don't know if I, you know, all right, you know, maybe I'll explain one more thing. Right? Send me a salawat. What's Imam Mahdi coming here to do? Okay, we know it. He's going to come and fight against injustice. He's going to establish justice. Okay, we know that. But what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? You know, okay, you know, he's going to come and do what? He's going to fight all the bad guys. And he's going to get rid of them. Okay, good. So now what? And then, obviously, he's not going to take forever doing that. He's going to come and do it. Okay, after he does it, then what? Well, then we'll go on with our lives. What do you mean, go on with your life? Yeah, we'll go back to our business. Right? He's going to come and he's going to get rid of all these people who are exploiting us. So now when he gets rid of all these rich guys, then we will work on becoming rich and exploiting others. What's Imam Mahdi coming for? For us. What does it mean for us? Yeah, he's going to establish, alhamdulillah, everything, justice is established, adl is established, great, then what? Well, yeah, I mean, then what? Have you ever thought, what does Imam Mahdi means to you? It's the first day of his imamat, right? I just want to make this point so that you understand. Well, what does Imam Mahdi means to us? What does he mean to us? You know, okay, you know, yes, Imam Mahdi, you know. Yeah, he comes here, he establishes justice, then what? Why are we waiting for him? Why are we waiting for him so anxiously, calling on to him? You know, so he can get rid of some bad guys? Why? Is he understand this, my friends? From here, you know, when you go to Jannat, right? What do you want to go to Jannat for? In heaven, what do you want to go to heaven for? Have you ever thought about this? What is your view of heaven? What do you want to go for heaven for? Well, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, we get, you know, I mean, everything we want. Yeah, you know, okay, you know, you say, well, what do you mean everything you want? You know, well, you know, we'll get mansions there. Okay, so you're going there for a bigger house? Oh, Allah says you can eat anything you want, so you're going there for more food? It's better food, better food. Okay, so you're going there for more and better food. Free food also. So is heaven meant for free food? No, Hurul Een also. Hurul Een. So what is Hurul Een? You know? Hey, you know what, I'm going there for, what, you're not happy with your wife right now? Well, no, it's not that. But what do you want in heaven? What do you think of heaven? No, I mean, over there you get hurul, so what's huruling? Upgrading your wife? An upgraded wife, an upgraded spouse. What's that? Did you ever think about that? I mean, why are you going to heaven?
Ya Allah.
Yeah. For more food, for a better wife or spouse, right? For better what? The house? Is this the reason that we are looking forward for heaven?
Servants?
We hear you can't afford. You're a servant yourself. No, I'm saying, is this it? You know, so we can have some helpers, some house, or some, you know, yeah, this or that, more food. The best welfare system is heaven, right? Everything for free. Is that what you're going for? I mean, do you think that Jannah is just an amazing welfare system that we can live for free, eat for free, do whatever we want for free? But understand this, why are you working so hard? Are these the reasons? Really, look at it. Are these the reasons?
No.
But you want to know?
No.
You want to know? Really, you want to know? Why are you going to heaven? Or why do you want to go to heaven? What do you think about heaven? Look at yourself and then understand, my friends. Why do we want to go to heaven? For these things? You see, a lot of times we have the most minimum, we take things for the minimum value that we can take it. That's it. The most, I mean, our ideology is so low about things that this is it. Yes, Allah mentions that in the Quran, you get all these things, but is this the reason that we are working so hard to get there? Why do you want to go there? My friend, understand this. Just an example, introduction I'll give you, then I'll tell you the answer. Alright? And understand something about Imam Mahdi now. You know, there are some zikr in Islam. Like Allahu Akbar, it's takbir. Right? La ilaha illallah is called tahleel. This Allahu Akbar, this is a dhikr that is known as dhikr-e-Ali. Dhikr-e-Ali because this is a dhikr that is not the end, it is a means to the end. This is dhikr-e-i'tiqadi, meaning when you say Allahu Akbar, no, I mean La ilaha illallah, dhikr-e-i'tiqadi. Because La ilaha illallah will perfect your aqa'id, your ideology. The more you perfect yourself in understanding La ilaha illallah, your ideology will be perfected. So it is a means to go to Allah. Allahu Akbar is zikre tarbiyati. When you do Allahu Akbar, when you ponder over Allahu Akbar and you understand what Allahu Akbar means, it improves your character so you go closer to Allah. Right? This is called zikre tarbiyati. You do this dhikr in order to reach Allah. But when you reach Allah, then you see, you don't do Allahu Akbar, you don't do La ilaha illallah, because this is meant to make you reach Allah. When you reach Allah, then the dhikr that you do at the time you reach your goal is called tasbih. Subhanallah. You say, Subhanallah. Right? This Subhanallah is called zikr ghai. It is a dhikr that you do when you reach the end. When you reach Allah, you say Subhanallah. Now what is this Subhanallah? I will explain this to you and from there, understand the two things. This Subhanallah is like this. You dream of something. You love something, you dream of something. You know, like a car. Lamborghini, since we use the example. I love a Lamborghini, you know. And you dream about it. Every time you dream, you're in a Lamborghini. Right? You can't get enough of it. Of course, you're too poor to afford it. Right? But you can dream about it, no one's stopping you from dreaming about it, right? Because you love it. Now, if you see a Lamborghini parked in a parking lot, right? You see it. All of a sudden, dream car, you see it right in front of you, what will be your reaction when you look at it? I mean, what will be your reaction? What will be the first word that comes out of your mouth? Wow. Right? Wow. Just a, you know, like that wow that comes from deep within you. Wow. Wow. Right? What is it? Wow. Because when you look at something that you love so much, when it comes in front of you, you just are wow. You're wowed by it. This is Subhanallah. When you see The one that you were waiting for and love so much that when it comes in front of your eyes, you say, Subhanallah. You're wowed by it. That's it, you're wowed. This is it. You're wowed by it. You're floored. You know, nothing. You know, that's all I want. Right? That's what I wanted. My friends, Jannah, the whole purpose of a man's creation is to do tasbih of Allah, to just say Subhanallah, to reach Allah and say Subhanallah. So now when you go to Jannah, you're not going there for more food, more drinks, better house, better wife. That's not what you're going there for. The purpose is to now when you reach heaven and when you will be with Allah, then you will be just wowed by Him. Then you will realize, Allah, I never wanted these things. It's you that I came here for. It's you whom I came here for. Not this, not that. This is nothing compared to your beauty. These are nothing. You are the one I was looking for. You are the one I was in love with. You are the one. The same thing with Imam Mahdi. Justice will come. He will come. He will establish justice. When all that is done, then what? You go around your business? No. You are going to say to Imam Mahdi, Imam Mahdi, you are the one I was waiting for. Not that these things will come, but I just want to be with you. You are the one I love. You are the one I love. I want you. You are the one I love. Salawat alayhi. That's why we're waiting for the Imam. We're waiting for the Imam because we want to be with him. He is the one. What do you think? The hukumat, this and that, it's all going to come. When all that's done and over with, now we can just be with you. Now we want to be with you. No distractions. Just let me look at you and say Subhanallah. Just let me be with you and say Subhanallah. That's the, you know, this is the sign. This is the way of lovers. You go to heaven, you do what? Yeah, I'm waiting for you, Allah. You are the one I want to be with. All of these things are ugly compared to you. Nothing is there that's as good as you are, as beautiful as you are. You are the one I want. Because this is why we are waiting for Imam Mahdi. Understand his wilayat. His wilayat is that of ishq and love. You know, our relationship with him is that we are in love with him. He's the one that we want. He is really the one. All these are side attractions. He is the main entree. Allah is the main dish. Everything else, hurulin, these are side dishes. It's not the reason why we do things. We do it for Allah. Allah, you are the one I want to see, be with. It's your companionship I'm looking for. It's your love that I'm looking for. This is, my friend, how we need to look at things. Next week, inshallah, we will have the birthday of the Prophet and Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. Inshallah. And, you know, we will also... Inshallah, you know, we will get together for our annual meeting of the members or all the people here. So inshallah, at the same time we'll have that when we have the program then, inshallah. Just let everyone know, you know, we will email everyone, inshallah, for that. But I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhirat da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad.